The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome, welcome to Happy Hour. And it's nice to see everybody. Today I'd like to start with this poem. That's by Jane Hirschfield. She is a Zen practitioner and a translator and a poet. And I believe that she lived at the San Francisco Zen Center for quite some time. I'm not exactly sure, but that's what I believe. So there's like a connection with her and kind of the Dharma scene here in the Bay Area. And she, this poem, some of you may know it, she writes about redwood trees. And some of you may know that, you know, IMC is in Redwood City. Would you be surprised if I said there's lots of redwood trees in Redwood City? In fact, I didn't grow up in Redwood City, but I grew up in the Bay Area and we had a redwood tree when I was growing up. But whether they are just in the neighborhood, a lot of the places hiking nearby here, you know, like maybe 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes from IMC, yet there's these redwood groves and there's something kind of majestic about them. There's, if you've never been, I can really, really recommend it. There's something kind of majestic and they form like a cathedral. And they're so tall and straight and a little bit awe-inspiring is my own word, I would say. And they grow to be very old. And I know in the house that I grew up in, for us and our neighbors, it was always a problem about the roots of the tree getting into the into the sewage lines, and IMC has that problem too. So they're pretty, redwood trees are pretty, I don't know what the word is. They persevere, maybe? Okay, so with that as a background, you might be wondering, Diana, please stop talking about trees. This is happy hour, not arborist hour or something like this. So the name of this poem is called Tree. By Jane Hirschfield, and it goes like this. It is foolish to let a young redwood grow next to a house. Even in this one lifetime, you will have to choose that great calm being, this clutter of soup pots and books. Already, the first branch tips brush at the window, softly, calmly, immensity taps at your life. I'll read it again. It is foolish to let a young redwood grow next to a house. Even in this one lifetime, you will have to choose that great calm being, this clutter of soup pots and books. Already, the first branch tips brush at the window. Softly, calmly, immensity taps at your life. This idea of the redwood trees, they just grow slowly, right? It seems like nothing's really happening. But they are growing. Those of you who have been to the retreat center, there's lots of redwoods. And we're even having to like redo part of a deck because of a redwood tree is growing. So this is it. Those things that we construct, that we build, they maybe can't withstand, they can't hold up against the immensity of a redwood tree that just very slowly grows step by step. And I believe that the poet here is pointing to this is what practice is like. This is what meditation practice, a spiritual practice, is that it just grows and grows in a very, I keep on saying this, but right, it is something about trees that we don't see them growing. We just all of a sudden notice that they've gotten closer or that they've gotten and, you know, the deck needs to be repaired or whatever it might be. So this idea that we have to choose, will we allow the redwood trees, will we allow our spiritual practice to continue to grow, even though it might be a little bit disruptive or a lot disruptive, things we construct, maybe relationships we have, maybe views about ourselves, all these things start to get, you know, shift and change. They start to be impacted by this redwood tree that's growing nearby. And loving kindness practice can definitely be this way too. That's partly the reason why we do loving kindness practice, is to maybe undermine some of these constructs, these things that we've created, some of these ideas we have about ourselves, some of these ideas that we have about others. And instead, allow this immensity to touch us and to allow new ideas, new experiences, new thoughts, new beliefs to take hold and get expressed in different ways. So let's do some meditation practice. Just taking a meditation posture, one in which you feel upright and steady, but also relaxed and easeful. And to sit and know you're sitting. What does it feel like to be here at this moment? Maybe there are sounds. Pressure against the body where you're sitting. And then allowing the attention to rest on the sensations of breathing. Feeling the movement of the body as it breathes. And when the mind wanders, just very simply, gently begin again. No need to judge it, have an opinion about it, make a story about it. We just begin again. Absolutely does not matter how many times one begins again. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind somebody for whom it's easy, a no-brainer, uncomplicated to feel warm-hearted towards, to feel care, love, respect, warmth, benevolence, goodwill, whichever words resonate with you. Choose somebody for whom it's easy to have those experiences, those emotions with. And bringing this lovable being to mind, whether it's an imaginary kitten, puppies, babies, whether it's a coach, mentor, teacher, author who's touched your life, or if it's somebody you have a relationship with right now, bringing them to mind. The key word here is easy. Connecting with this lovable being. Allow yourself to feel how much you appreciate and care for them. In whatever way feels comfortable for you. And then to support the cultivation of loving kindness, we can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. connecting with this lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allow yourself to feel supported, nourished by any feelings of warmth or warm-heartedness, openness, spaciousness, happiness, even if it's just a small part of your experience. And then to expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. reading this poem again. It is foolish to let a young redwood grow next to a house. Even in this one lifetime, you will have to choose that great calm being, this clutter of soup pots and books. Already, the first branch tips brush at the window. Softly, calmly, immensity taps at your life. And then expanding our loving kindness to neutral people, people we don't know, that we don't have relationships with. Maybe somebody on this Zoom call, somebody you see occasionally in the neighborhood. As best you can, bringing this individual to mind. Maybe it's just a name. On Zoom here. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. extending well wishes to people we don't know. It's one way we allow this immensity to tap at our life. It's one way that we allow our spiritual practice to grow and mature and express itself. What are some ways that you understand the last line of this poem? Softly, calmly, immensity taps at your life. How do you understand that? This idea of immensity tapping at our life. I love this kind of adjective, adverbs here, softly, calmly. So it isn't earth shattering, you know, shake you up and completely obvious, but maybe it's a quiet, gentle way. That maybe it's in a way that we don't even hear or notice. Unless we're listening or we're quiet. So this idea of our spiritual practice, right? Many of us bring a spiritual practice for the purpose of it creating some type of change. And I think that's what this poet, Jane Hirschfield, is pointing to. It's that just like trees, are majestic and sturdy and steady, can be. In the same way our practice can be. And they also, as they grow, they can be disruptive. And maybe it's not in ways that we were expecting or hoping or anticipating. So now I'd like to put you into small groups where you have an opportunity to talk about this idea that spiritual practice, including loving kindness practice, even if you're doing it in a completely secular way, which is perfectly fine. If you just notice that maybe you're a little bit more sensitive to others or wanting to, noticing how it's easier to be caring for others in some kind of way, or not to be so angry with some of the people when they cut you off in traffic, for example, or whatever way it might be. So you'll be in groups of three or four, and a real encouragement to just say one thing at a time. And to say one thing and then let it go to the next person. They say one thing and then let it go to the next person. I know sometimes it can feel like you have a lot to say and you want to share everything and let everybody know all your wisdom. But this is more an opportunity just to allow everybody to be seen and heard, even the introverts and the extroverts, and then someone to kind of level the playing field a little bit. So just by saying one thing and allowing it to go to the next person. And if it's helpful, you can go in the order of the last digit of your house number. Last digit of your house number. To think about that. What is my address? So just the last digit there. Okay. So here we are. So does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to say here at the end before we close up? And it looks like David posted a link to the poem.
We decided that the best drug out there is a good poem.
Thank you. That's very nice. And feel like it was a good poem?
It was great.
Yes, that was great. It stimulated a lot of discussion for us.
Nice.
I have a question. This is Serena.
Yes, Serena.
Thank you. The question is, is there a time when the states of mind of loving kindness, compassion, et cetera, become steady? Or are they going to keep on coming and going like the other states of mind?
I would say it's a little bit of both, and that like maybe the baseline state of mind starts to be imbued more with warmth and care, compassion, whatever word you want to use. There's this more open-heartedness. So that just kind of like the default state of mind becomes that way. And then there's a coming and a going of where it's a little bit more evident or strong or something like this. So it's a little bit like that, depending on what situation one finds themselves in.
Thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so we're 1 minute after the hour, so it was lovely to practice with you all. And if you'd like, we can unmute and we'll say goodbye in an unruly way. So,
thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Diana.
Good night.
Hi, everyone. Thank
you, Diana. See you, Trudy.
Thanks, Diana.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diana.
Hi, everyone.
I was just seeing Trudy during meditation and you joined. I hadn't seen you for a while. It's like I conjured you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Bye bye.
Bye, Diana. Bye. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.